chicken fried, and cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and a radio.
Oh, 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 oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, baby. Happy Friday, everybody.
Happy Friday, everybody. And happy Friday to you, John.
Thank you, Sarah. Happy Friday to you. Good to see you again, as usual.
Yeah, it's always, this is so fun when I get to see you once a week now. At least once a week.
It's like free therapy for me.
Yeah. Well, I didn't want to say that I'm going to have to start charging you,
know,
but I am going to have to start charging you.
Oh, I'm sure it's worth it. Well, actually, you could probably use some therapy after that that ball game. Should we get it right into
it? Yeah, I mean, just way to bring it up right away.
I mean, I don't know.
It was a tough one.
But it was a good game.
It was such a good game. And you know what? Before the game even began, I was like, you know what? All week, I wasn't even nervous about it, or I was just like so happy that we won the Rose Bowl. I didn't even really care about this game. Like, we've lost to Alabama a bunch, and they're always going to be Alabama, and difficult, you know. But and they brought in a freshman in the third quarter that we've never seen, and he was great. And if you've never seen somebody, it's very difficult to try to strategize.
That is 100% right.
Yeah.
And a lot of times these quarterbacks are going to do really well in the first 1 or 2 years of the NFL.
Yes.
It's the same reason. They had, you know, a lot of teams, they're not really sure what to expect. Even the, God, who was it? The guy for Washington Redskins, black guy, Doug something that won the Super Bowl.
Flutie?
No, not Doug Flutie. He's a white dude. You know what I'm talking about, Aaron?
It Doug Mitchell? Was that his name? Was it Mitchell?
Shoot, now everyone at home is going, they're
screaming
it at us right now. Doug Duggerson. No, I don't know. Anyway, so no one knew how to prepare for him because they didn't know what to expect. They hadn't seen
Williams.
Him. Doug Williams won the Super Bowl for the Redskins. And, you know, part of that is exactly what you just said. Mm-hmm. They didn't, what the hell?
Well, a lot of times that's what happens in baseball as well. Like, look at Yasiel Puig when he played for the Dodgers the first year. I mean, he was just so good. And then people figured out which ball to throw to him.
Right.
And then he can't, you know, all of a sudden he has to go back down to the minors. You know, it's kind of like Joe Boo, or, you know, like the bat in Major League, you know, they just know which ball to throw at him, and then they can't hit it. And it's very similar, like this year in the NFL with Ezekiel Elliott. Like, he was just running wild, and then we'll see how he does next year, because a lot of times, you know, that first year difficult, then people find your weakness, and then they just exploit that.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And these defenses are getting better and better at learning people and their rhythms and their go-tos and whatnot. So, yeah, you're exactly right. They didn't have time to prepare for this kid. Yeah. And I didn't know much about him either. I mean,
no,
had he played
did.
At all?
He played at garbage time a couple times this year. And, nobody knows anything about him. And why would we assume? And so I couldn't really be upset. That it still went to overtime.
I saw your post where he's like at halftime. Hey, no matter what, I'll always have the first half.
I will, and I just knew it. I knew Alabama was going to re-strategize just like we did with Oklahoma at the half, and that's when you play your best ball after you've been able to watch somebody for two quarters, and then you either figure them out or you don't. And and we could not figure out how to beat that kid, and he was great. I mean,
I mean, honestly, it was one big play.
Oh, yeah, that's
it. I mean, because you guys were kicking ass for three quarters.
Yeah, you know, we scored at the beginning of the third, and then we didn't score again. And if you can't score again, then that's what happens.
But you were kicking. It was a field goal at first, right? They missed one. Then you kicked. Then you got yours. Am I right here?
Yeah.
And then
we had a 50-yarder or whatever,
My Blankenship. Boy from,
Buddy Holly.
I love that kid. He's good.
It was a great game.
Your boy from State Fromm did good as well?
Yeah. I mean, proud of him.
And that's a true freshman, so.
I mean, literally.
A couple more years of that guy?
I hope. I mean, I think Jacob Eason, who is our other freshman quarterback who was starting this year. He might go back to Washington because he was the number one recruit last year.
Uh-huh.
And then Fromm was up there this year. And then we just got the number one recruit again at
That's
quarterback,
right.
Justin Fields, who might beat out Fromm.
Was this kid that came in, do you know the kid who came in Bama, was he a true freshman as well?
Yes.
Okay.
He's a true freshman, Tualalala something.
Oh, man.
Who knows?
So they're going to be stacked as well, which
yeah.
I hate. That's just, ugh. I'm tired of Roll Tide. I'm sorry, Roll Tide fan.
So
I know you. There are people hate me right now for saying that. But
I don't
like,
think we have any Roll Tide fans that listen to this anymore.
Well, not anymore. That's right. I just ruined that.
Well, you had a tough weekend too, though, right? Because of the Panthers.
Yeah. But everyone's quick to blame Cam Newton, and I'd love to blame Cam Newton, but it wasn't really his fault this time. You know,
yeah.
we couldn't stop Drew Brees.
Yeah.
Drew Brees was just cutting just like a warm knife through butter against our defense. We stopped the run, but then Drew Brees was all day, every day.
Yeah, you guys stopped Kamara, which was really impressive.
Kamara and Ingram, who beat us the last two times.
Yeah.
We lost six games this year, and three of them were to the Saints. So that's a buzzkill.
That is.
But
and now you are going through a leadership change because a bunch of people got fired. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I'm going to put my bid in for the Panthers to be a part owner.
Yeah.
What,
I don't hate
what
Cam
mathematic would that
you know
be?
What I mean? I mean, the only thing I ever say about Cam is that he took a pay cut when he came in the NFL from Auburn. You know, which is like the only thing.
That's probably true.
Yeah, but I think he's such a good quarterback, and I think he cares so much. And we covered that press conference, remember, where he got in trouble. I don't think that was.
No, it's just him being him.
I don't think he was trying to be
misogynistic at all. I think he was just being like.
Yeah. I mean,
he's trying to get a laugh, which is something that's not even that funny, but.
Yeah.
To him, it's funny. But yeah, no, I don't always like his little moping attitude where he puts the stupid towel on his head when they're behind. When we're up, he's unstoppable. But like to come from behind sometimes is not. And he was getting pounded this game.
He
was getting, I mean, he almost got concussed. He got hit real hard right in the face.
Might have.
I think he probably did like years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is. Onward up. Wait, but I forgot Falcons, are they in or out?
We're in. We play Philly on Saturday. Yeah, we beat the Rams, which I did not anticipate.
Oh, my God. That's right. No one did.
No, nobody did.
That Saturday was actually a great little upset Saturday in NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Jacksonville Jaguars beat the Chiefs, and then Falcons.
The Titans beat the Chiefs.
The Titans, that's right. That's right.
And
Jacksonville lost to the Bills. That's right.
Yeah.
Oh my
Jacksonville's
God.
Jacksonville's in, and so this weekend's going to be interesting.
You'll be
Saturday. I come back. I fly home from Illinois on Saturday, and I'm literally just like racing to the house.
Right.
So hopefully I get there by the second quarter. So I'll watch that. And then the late game is the Patriots. The Patriots play the Titans.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll be over. Who knows?
I mean, who knows? I mean, the Patriots lose to Miami almost every year. And it's
I can't believe
Miami has them figured out.
They always play them well.
They always have the Patriots have a tough time in
Miami
and Buffalo.
Oh, yeah.
And so.
What do you know the line on this game? I know it'll probably change by the time we get closer to the game. But, like, with the Falcons and Eagles, is it like a 10 thing or 10 points or 7 points?
I think we're projected to win maybe by 3.
Oh, so it's kind of
close.
I
don't think it's a lot. It could be more.
Man.
I don't know. We can ask my dad when we call him.
I guess I'm rooting for you guys now since the Panthers are out.
I
don't know how I feel about that, though, because we always play each other. And I can't.
Same division.
Yeah. But then again, who
can't
else?
Can't cheer for the Saints.
No, can't do the Saints. And then the Patriots, I'm tired of that one. So
yeah,
maybe it's the Rams now. All right.
Yeah, so it's good. It's like
go Falcons, I guess.
Falcons.
Yeah, and go Georgia next year.
Yeah.
I mean,
I know.
The Bulldogs.
So sad.
How's your dad feel about it?
Well, we can find out.
We can
call him.
Let's call him up.
I wanted to talk to him because, I'm sure he's not too happy. But we'll see how he feels. And I'll talk about the Falcons. And he also won the I'll turn that down, Aaron. Sorry. He won the football pool.
Ooh.
So I want to talk to him about that.
Against the general?
Yes, he did. He beat the general, his brother.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm.
General got second.
Hello there.
Hi, Daddy.
How you doing?
I'm good. I'm here with John Reap.
Hey.
Hey, Big John.
Hey.
Big John, the man.
Hey, I love you. I love you even more now because of this wonderful gift that you've given me. Sarah's dad got me a vinyl, an album of The World of Jim Nabors. Thank you.
Yeah, I got another gift for you.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
What is it?
I actually recorded a song by Jim Nabors. I got it on my Walkman. I'm going to play it for you, okay?
Your Walkman.
Wait a minute. Is this you singing it, or you recorded it from...
Yeah, you got to listen to this. I took all week, you know, had to get musicians from Eastbridge and pay them some wings.
Nuh-uh.
I think you'll like it. I think you'll like it. Hold on.
Okay. I can't wait.
I have no idea what this is going to be.
I love your dad.
Oh, no. He doesn't know how to hold the phone up.
Is that I'll Fly Away?
It's a long time to sing the whole.
What, is this your dad singing?
It's probably Jim Nabors.
It's Jim Nabors.
But in my dad's
playing it from a Walkman, right?
Daddy,
I won't do it all. I won't do it all, but just make the world go away. You know, sometimes we like that.
Oh, it's all coming together now.
What did you play? What were you playing that on?
Well, yeah, I was playing that on my Walkman. I recorded that.
You played that on your Walkman. That you record.
Yeah, that was my voice. You didn't know that?
Oh.
No, I didn't know that.
You have a beautiful voice.
Yeah, Daddy, it's really
amazing. It almost sounds like you're inside of a record player from the 1940s.
Yeah.
But that was great. Yeah, no, that's a perfect song for this weekend for you guys.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, make a little go away after Monday, but, you know, you only got next year.
Yeah.
On Monday. What?
Yep.
How are you feeling after Monday, Daddy?
I feel fine. I'm very proud of our team, and I don't think you could have done any better than either side could have won that game. And nobody really picked us to win that game. And I thought we pretty much played our hearts. We stopped their run, their quarterback a little bit, and they stopped our run. And it was just a brutal battle, you know.
Yeah,
that was overtime again, right?
Yes. Yeah. Because overtime
again,
we kicked a field goal,
and then unfortunately. Just like in Oklahoma, they scored a pass with their new quarterback and got a touchdown.
Yeah,
they did to us what we did to Oklahoma.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And that was a straight up like dagger.
That was a bomb.
I mean,
it was a long,
but it wasn't like an arky bomb. It was sort of like it was a great pass.
Well, because the first play we sacked the quarterback.
It didn't have a lot of arc on it. It was a very strong throw to the receiver, but we weren't looking for the touchdown pass from the. We knocked him down. Remember, they lost yardage on the first down, and we had him back on the.
Yeah, we took him out of field goal range.
Out of field goal range, and he just went back there and said, "Heck with it." And I don't think we anticipated that long pass to the end zone, and he got away with it. So it's all a matter of
luck. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's just sometimes luck, you know.
Luck, so. Do you guys think Nick Saban that was part of his genius? I mean, I hate to say that about him.
But, yeah.
I mean, is that
he's a good coach. He's a good coach, but, you know, he's got good players, good recruits. But, you know, he did lose a game this year to Auburn, and we beat Auburn, and we were pretty balanced going in that game. And I don't mind going in as the underdog, and a lot of people picked Alabama, but I think we played our hearts out for him, really. I
mean, isn't it crazy that Alabama was projected to win by 4, and they won by 4?
Ugh.
And we were projected to beat Oklahoma by 3, and we won by 3. I mean, it is just insane how good Vegas is.
I know.
It makes me so mad.
How do they do it?
Yeah.
It's all math. It's got to be some sort of weird algorithm.
I knew the math.
I like to see what the guys won in Vegas on last Saturday's games.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, on the Falcons winning and the Titans winning.
Titans winning. Mm-hmm. Somebody lost their ace in, lost their ace in Vegas. So.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, I was telling John, Dad, that you won your football pool this year. You won the whole thing.
Ooh.
He won the whole year.
No, the whole year.
Yeah, he's won a bunch of the weeks, but he won the whole year. So they add up all your
I won 2.5 weeks. I won the first week, and then I tied a week, which is a split, and then because we tied on the score, and then I won the week 17, and I was just one win behind, and I had the Titans over the leader, and he had the Chiefs. Then I had the Falcons to win, and then I had Buffalo to win, and I took over first place and didn't know until the very last game it was all over with, and I had 174 wins, and I had the score right. So
yeah, the wow. final, the score of the game. So you won how much money, Daddy?
Probably about $800.
Sounds like Vegas has a new ace. That's amazing.
Well, I wanted to have you on to talk about that.
It was almost 11 wins average per week when I calculated with 16 games. So.
11 out of 16.
You know what? At the beginning of this football season, mm-hmm. when we were talking to Dad about picks and stuff, mm-hmm. I didn't know we were talking to a genius.
Exactly.
But now.
He's a stable genius.
I've won it twice, but.
He's my ace in the hole.
But, you know, it's just a matter of watching the most important thing when you watch about the games is don't make your picks so early when people are not reporting or they're on the injured mm-hmm, list mm-hmm. the last day before the game, where you don't know who's going to start at quarterback, and you have all these things going on. What field they're playing? What kind of weather do they have? Did they lose last week? Do they have a bye? I mean, when mm-hmm. you stop just a simple analysis of games, then you can start, you know, doing a little bit better on your picks.
What do you
Some
think?
Some people just pick the colors like a racehorse.
Hey, sometimes that works.
What do you think's going to happen this weekend?
Well, I think we're going to win, and I think the Patriots will win. Tennessee's not going to be able to beat them up there.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to beat Philly. I don't care if they don't have Carson Wentz. Even if they did, we're going to beat Philly. We got a better team.
All right, so there's one pick.
We showed it last week. Mm-hmm. We showed it last week against one of the better offensive teams in the country.
One of the best.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then you said the Patriots are going to beat the Titans.
Right.
And then I guess, who plays on Sunday?
Saints and Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how to predict that game. It is in Minnesota. You got to get them 3 points at home. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's going to be a battle right to the end. It's going to be a lot of offense. It's a high-scoring game.
Yeah, high-scoring
game. I agree. Saints are on a roll. Drew Brees looks unstoppable. But you're right,
yeah, but
that dome.
Remember, we did beat them. Mm-hmm. I mean, they did lose 5 games. So
in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're like an 8-win game streak right now, I think. But
the Saints are?
The Saints.
Who's the other game, Dad? Pittsburgh.
And then we got Pittsburgh and Jacksonville. And I don't think Jacksonville, people are saying, oh, their defense, all that bullshit, but I don't think that. They're not going to be able to go to Pittsburgh.
No, I think
you know,
you're right.
And beat the Pittsburgh Steelers at home. I don't think that's going to happen. But it's another game that, you know, it's going to be tough and you just don't want to get anybody hurt, but the Jacksonville, they can get a little dirty at times. They'll kind of beat up on you a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Who's Tennessee playing? So,
the Patriots.
Oh, that's right.
It's okay, John.
I love that. What do you think about this Bortles quarterback for Jacksonville?
I think he's a lot like Cutler at times. He's a little brain dead at times.
He reminds me of like a cross between Cutler and Roethlisberger a little bit. Like they're both, I mean,
he's
built
a big boy.
Like that.
He's a
yeah.
big boy.
Yeah, he just, you know, he has a Cutler. He it doesn't get hurt as much as Cutler, maybe. He's pretty strong, but he just has a mental lapses in play calling and reading the defense and mm-hmm. audibling and knowing how to get out of the situations. And
mm-hmm.
he's never been a great quarterback. He's still there, and he's been with the league a long time, but he's never been, like, you know, a really great quarterback.
Well, it'll be a good weekend of sports.
It'll
so
be really
I'll,
good.
I'm going to put money
so
on what
you
your
got,
dad
Big
says.
John?
I would.
Who you got, Big John?
Well, my Panthers are out, so that's done. Mm-hmm. I'm going to root for you guys. I think you'll win your game against Philly. I think New England's. I think it's going to be. My prediction. I'll go Super Bowl right now. You ready?
Oh, okay.
This is my Super Bowl prediction.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be the Saints versus the Patriots, and the Patriots are going to win again.
No, please don't let that happen.
Predicted by several ESPN players, the Saints, but they got to get by Minnesota.
Yeah. I think it'll be a shootout, and Drew Brees in a shootout is got more experience than this. I forgot the quarterback for the Vikings already. But
you remember we did beat New Orleans this year.
Yes, you did.
We beat them once
in the very beginning.
And we beat them pretty decisively.
Well,
we beat them without Kamara, though. We beat them without Kamara, so we got to beat them with Kamara.
I'm rooting for you, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Well,
although if you do, that'd be amazing to give you. Oh, what if it's a rematch?
It could
Patriots, Falcons again. Oh, that'd be better.
It could be also the Vikings at home.
Ooh,
the Vikings have a strong, very strong defense.
Super Bowls in Minnesota.
Will that be the first time that's ever happened?
Yeah.
Wow.
If that happened, yeah.
Wow. Now I'm kind of rooting for that.
I know, right? It's kind of interesting.
What did you say, Sarah, first time? What happened?
A home team has been at the, like if the Vikings play in the Super Bowl, that would be the first time.
It'll be a home game for them.
Yeah, home game on the Super Bowl field, yeah.
I don't think that's ever happened, I'm pretty sure.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Dallas maybe might have done it once, but I'm not sure.
You might be right.
I don't keep up about those stats that I have a hard time keeping up with, you know. But,
hey, how about me and you? How about me and you going in and buying the Panthers together since Jerry Richardson's going to not be around?
Well, yeah, we'll just go in with Steph Curry, right?
Steph Curry wants to buy them?
Well, he might.
Curry thinks he's got money to buy the Panthers, which it takes about, not only is the team worth about $2 billion, but they make sure you have a reserve of $2 billion on the side before you can even go in. Buy a team, you know.
Yeah.
You can't just buy a team and spend all your money. Then you have a $2 billion reserve.
You need $4 billion.
I know Steph Curry is a fan because I've seen him at games. Like, they always have this big drum that they pound the drum.
He keeps saying he's going to try to buy him, but he better have a Warren Buffett or somebody with him. So.
Well, it'd be him and P. Diddy.
Oh, God. Man, what a...
I like making your dad laugh.
I know. It's pretty easy.
Buffett doesn't even know what a first down is.
Yeah.
No. He only scores touchdowns.
Yeah. All right, Daddy, thank you so much for letting us call you, and congrats on your big win.
Thank you so much. And you're traveling. Are you leaving out? When are you heading to with Dennis Miller?
Tomorrow I go to Illinois with Dennis Miller. Tomorrow and Friday.
Okay, Illinois is good because it looks... No, it's a little tough. Minnesota should be very happy to not have to play outside.
Yes. No. Yeah. Exactly.
It could be pretty snowy up there. So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's going to be 20 degrees.
Have a good trip.
All right, Daddy.
Have a good trip. And thanks, John. Is Aaron there too? Hello, Aaron. I never say hello. Hello.
Hello.
He's there. All right, Daddy. Love you.
Love you.
See you, buddy. Have a good weekend.
Bye.
See you, buddy. Bye.
So I do have. It says two NFL teams have played in their home market.
Okay.
Market.
Yes.
Right.
The Niners played at Stanford Stadium rather than Candlestick.
Okay.
So not their home
That's very close.
And the Rams played at the Rose Bowl in the Super Bowl.
But not their actual stadium.
The Coliseum, which was their home.
What year was that Rose Bowl one? Does it say on there what
it
year
just
it is?
Says Super Bowl 14.
Oh, that's
so
a
that
long
would have been,
time ago.
So this was 52, so that's... What, 38 years ago?
Yeah, before we was alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
79, 80?
38, yeah. So that would have been, right when I was born.
Okay, I was alive.
You were alive. You were so alive.
So
you were 12.
Old.
No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, have you noticed what Aaron's wearing?
I saw that he's wearing
Speaking
a print
Speaking of Minnesota,
shirt,
yeah.
A purple print shirt. I'm wearing my Coneweed
That's
shirt.
That's right. Thank you.
Yes. And wait, I wanted to ask you about your garage.
Oh, my God.
How is it?
Okay. It's fine now. But I left the door open because it just to air it out.
Okay.
My condo where I live is backed up right against the LA River, which is not ever a river.
A river. You know,
it's not a river. There's barely even two peas in it. But it's like right there. And the only time it's ever a river is when it starts raining.
Uh-huh.
And for those of you that don't know, it rained a lot here the other day.
A lot.
What, did you get affected at all?
Quite. I didn't get, my house did not flood, though.
No. It's just my garage. Mm-hmm. So, the rain was coming in the garage door, and there are people in my complex who actually will put sandbags up sometimes.
Oh, my gosh.
But it wasn't as bad as that, but I did have to get up because I heard a lot of commotion going on. Mm-hmm. So I got up early, and I opened my garage door, and it was just a water up to, top of your foot. So, I mean, it was mostly boxes of crap.
Yeah,
that I had
on the
to
ground.
get up and move around and furniture and just let it all dry out. So that was most of my day, trying to figure out how to, like, where to put this stuff.
Dry things out.
Yeah, and then getting one of those little Ouija broom thingsies and just...
Squeegees.
Yeah, squeegee.
Well, what remember
I
when...
Ouija?
Yeah. Mario and a Ouija.
Point to a Luigi broom. Yeah.
Remember when we called my cousin April and they were doing that with their basement?
That's
and
right.
They and just set it on fire. That's you right. should have done that.
Oh, my God. I should have called her for and get some advice. Yeah, how much gas do I put on this in my garage? How many kerosene heaters do I need?
I can't believe you have a garage. That's, like, really cool and fancy. That's, like, rich people stuff in L.A.
It's a condo. It's a condo. It's a townhome.
It's a townhome. A condo doesn't necessarily have
its
own.
Well, that's true. I mean, it's a condominium complex that I live in. And it's right behind CBS Radford Studios. Mm-hmm. So I bought it, like, right after I got on Rodney, the sitcom Rodney.
You could walk to work?
Yes. Season 2. And I tell people all the time, no, it was season 3. If you ever want to get a sitcom canceled, buy a condo within walking distance. And they will take it off the air for you. So that's what got me the condo, and then winning Last Comic helped me keep it.
Right.
And then, you know, I'm still hanging in there with it.
You're still hanging
in. It's gone up, but I mean, I bought it at a bad time. Not at a great time, but then not the worst.
Okay.
But then it got bad, but then it's good again. So,
oh, good. Yeah,
so I know. Who knows? I'm just trying to keep it dry.
Yeah, right? Keep it dry so that the price, the value stays
so
up.
So it stays, yeah. So if I need to, I can cash my chips in and get the hell out of here and go back to Hickory.
Yeah. Well, I mean, basically, if you've bought property in L.A. ever, that's a retirement plan.
That's kind of how I looked at it. Like, I might as well, since I got lucky with that sitcom, let me just go ahead and get something now.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that'll be my get out of jail for free
card. My boyfriend's looking at buying something for the first time, and because he invested in a lot of those coin stocks.
Bitcoins?
Like, he didn't get Bitcoin. No. I wish he had gotten Bitcoin when he had done it.
Right.
Because when he went to go buy... Bitcoin, it was like 5,000 a share.
Yeah.
So he's like, maybe I'll just buy one. And now it's 17,000 a share.
No kidding.
Yeah.
It's that much?
Yeah. So, but he invested in a lot of small ones. So he's doubled his investments.
Good. Now, when you say coins, you mean all of them? Like,
there's a bunch
like
of different kinds.
Investing gold?
Yeah. So basically, like,
because my dad did that too.
The coins are that. They're basically like cloud software.
Got it. Okay.
That's
not just Bitcoin, but all the other ones too.
Well, all of them, that is what they do. They are they're what makes Aaron wants to chime in.
Go ahead, buddy. You know some Bitcoin trivia?
I don't understand it and I don't.
Oh, yeah. So basically it's like the software that creates the security for the cloud. So like when you go to store all this stuff in like your Dropbox or your cloud, the Bitcoin is the company or the security system that provides that security for all your storage. And all we want in life is storage because we have so many pictures and we have so many. Yeah. So it's kind of like how lithium is the new oil because lithium makes batteries.
Okay.
And batteries make our iPhones and our cars now. And cars are running on batteries and any kind of solar powered invention or anything that needs to be charged.
Right.
Your iPad, your
lithium.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my dad has invested in real coins.
Oh, like know, actual gold, like pieces of gold.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, my dad has a coin collection too, but probably not as good as your dad.
Like William DeBane, like that soap opera actor from the 80s who now does all the coin commercials. Like my dad, okay, so like, you know, the older he gets, he's like, I'm going to invest, blah, 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 blah. So he's got silver mostly.
Ooh.
Not the gold. Gold's very expensive. Like it's way more. Yeah, Silver. Like sulfur.
Yeah, sulfur.
Silver. But he goes, for Christmas, he gave me like a $1 silver coin.
Mm-hmm.
Have I already told you this?
No.
I feel like, a $1 silver coin, which is worth $20.
Ooh.
But it's presidential, so it's got Trump on it.
No.
And he said, take this with you and give it to all your Hollywood friends.
Oh, yeah.
See if they want to spend
Trump
it.
Picture.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, that's pretty funny.
It's only probably worth $10 in
Hollywood. Right. It's like negative 20 here. If I hand that to someone here, I will never work again. Like, why do you support that?
Well, you could give it to Roseanne. She'd want it.
Yeah.
There's certain people that you could definitely work for here.
It's a very, very hush-hush society.
Yeah, I mean, I'm opening for Dennis Miller tomorrow. He'd definitely buy it.
Oh, but he's got a whole bunch of gold ones.
He might have some gold Trump ones, for sure.
What are you doing with Miller? Elaborate. What's going on?
I just open for him every once in a while. We have the same agent. So
cool.
It's like, sure, I'll go do one show instead of six.
Yeah. And it's in Illinois somewhere?
Yeah, we're doing Joliet, Illinois, and St. Charles, Illinois. This is going to air after we've already done it.
Okay, so it'll be
it's tomorrow and Friday.
Got it.
Yeah, so, but next.
Still, that's cool.
Next week I'm in LA, and then the week after that I'm in Denver.
How much time do you do when you open up for Miller?
30 minutes clean.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I bet he's a stickler for time. He seems like he'd be like, give me 28.4.
No, he wasn't the last time. I've only worked with him once. So,
yeah, okay.
And his flight was like coming in like right. I had to stretch a little bit because his flight, it was like crazy raining in New Orleans. And we were in Lake Charles outside of New Orleans like an hour and a half. And he was taking a tiny little plane to the airport next to it.
Yeah.
And basically he barely got there in time for the show. But he didn't care. Like he didn't.
Yeah.
Even afterwards, he was like, they told you to be like, what?
Right.
Who told you that? You know, I don't know if he meant that or whatever.
That's probably like, don't give me someone who's going to say the F word every 2 seconds.
Yeah. Like I don't do any political. I don't really do any political material anyway. But I just kind of do all the fun stuff.
You guys hang out at all? Or is he just like in and out? He plays a jet, gets in there and gets right out, probably.
Well, like I said, the last time we didn't really have time. I hung out with him a little bit after and he met my parents, and my parents had brought some friends who are huge fans of his and Bill O'Reilly's because they go on tour together.
I know. That's going to be another question.
Yeah.
Is O'Reilly coming?
No, I don't think so. So so he was happy to meet all of them and very nice. And he was like, you're so nice. And everybody said you did a really great job. So please, if you ever want to come with me again, you're more than welcome to.
Nice.
And so I got offered a bunch of days, but there's only so many I could do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's great.
So I'm going to do a show with him in Reno, actually, at the beginning of February. So if people want to come.
There you go. Reno.
That.
Do you know where it is in Reno?
Actually.
It'll be on the website, right?
It'll be on my website. Yeah, I got to update that.
This weekend, I will be in a Funny Bone Comedy Club in Cincinnati. It's actually called Liberty Township.
Oh,
so
neat.
It's outside of Cincinnati. Do you know where that is? You're shaking your head.
It's in Kentucky, I believe.
Right. So it's one of those.
It's just
I got to fly into Kentucky and then drive to. No.
Liberty.
My hotel is actually not in Kentucky, I think. Something weird like that. It's like on the border. But yeah. So I'll be there.
That's so fun. I was in D.C. last weekend and literally almost all of my shows were sold out. It was amazing.
Nice.
It's like my favorite place to perform, and it's the third time I've performed there, and I was like so happy.
Where in D.C. was it?
This was at the D.C. Draft House instead of the Arlington. There's one in
Draft
Arlington.
Draft House.
There's
Gotta
one in
look
D.C.
into that one. I've not done anything in D.C. Even the improv I've not done, and I'm doing like all of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's escaped me for whatever reason.
Man, it's such a great club. And the crowds there are just, they love comedy. They're so smart, and they get every single joke. They get the jokes between the jokes.
Yeah.
And I, most of my act is sarcasm. So if you don't get sarcasm, you're not going to get half the jokes.
Yeah.
You'll still laugh and have a great time. You just won't get everything. You won't get the stuff I say under my breath.
Right, right.
It was so awesome. Yeah, it was so much fun. And then I have a week off, and then I go to Denver. Comedy Works, but it's the other one.
It's not the one
the
downtown.
Greenbrier one.
Yeah, but both are great.
I haven't been to either, so I'm very excited.
Yeah, you're gonna love it.
Mm-hmm.
That because they put you up in a very nice condo, which is
they sent me
condo,
pictures of it.
You think, oh, it's gonna.
I had them send
great.
This is like now after I've had a bad experience on a couple.
Yeah.
Also, where somebody else comes in to the condo to stay there without me knowing that was gonna be the situation.
This won't happen in Denver.
No.
Denver's the best.
No, yeah, it's kind of like the one in Arizona. The one in Arizona is really nice. Rick Bronson one.
Oh, is that right? I've not done that one.
Oh, his condo there is gorgeous.
Well, the condo at downtown Denver is even better than the one you're staying at in the other place. And the other place one's great as well. So
good.
It's a win-win in Denver.
Yeah, I like when I went vegan, right?
Ooh, how's that going?
It's good. I have a headache today, but it's been good. I made vegan chicken and dumplings the other night.
Oh, so you just made dumplings.
Yeah. The hardest part is the broth, to get the chicken broth. I've realized I don't like any of the fake meats. So I just don't eat any of that stuff.
Most of it is...
it tastes chemically to me.
Yeah,
it's
gelatinous
like
seitan almost.
Or tofu. That's what it's...
It is seitan. Yeah. It's from the devil.
Yeah, that's funny. I was like, uh-uh.
Seitan wouldn't eat this shit.
No, I don't... No, I ain't doing that. So...
Yeah.
Yeah, no more of that for me.
You know, I told you like, oh, that's a good idea. Maybe I'll do that.
Uh-huh. Nah. Yeah, I know.
Today, I've eaten nothing but meat. I ate a sausage and a bunch of turkey and cheese. Well, okay, the cheese.
Yeah.
That
the cheese is the hardest part, but there's this. I have found a substitute that is amazing.
I have to tell you about a new TV show I love.
Oh, okay.
And it goes within the whole sort of, I don't know, rednecks everywhere. Well, it will fit into a segment.
Great.
I'm not sure what it is yet. Maybe entertainment. there is a show.
Okay.
That's on. It's on where?
Television?
It's on the TV. Right. I have my tab pulled up here.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Tales from the Tour Bus. Mike Judge produced. It's a Mike Judge thing.
Love Mike Judge.
It's animated.
Oh.
But it's real stories from old school country western music guys, like the Outlaw. Outlaw guys.
Really?
Like, they've only done 8 episodes so far.
Oh, that's right.
And they take the audio of these interviews. With people like, I'm talking Johnny Paycheck, Jerry Lee Lewis, George Jones, Tammy Wynette, Billy Joe Shaver, Waylon Jennings, and Blaze Foley, okay? That's all 8 they've done. They take the audio of these interviews, mixed in with interviews of other people, and they tell the craziest stories.
Oh, my God. And I love that.
I mean, it was Outlaw.
Is it on Netflix? Is it on?
It's on blah, 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 blah. Hang on. I will tell you. Cinemax.
Oh.
Yeah, it's on Cinemax. I have a trailer.
Sometimes Cinemax is on Amazon, right? Like you can... Oh, you have a trailer. Yeah.
Yeah, I can play you this quick little trailer and get a sense of...
oh, I'd love that. I also have a song to play for you. Remember when we did... when we played different songs for each other that were like throwback ones? And I have a song that we... I know we have... We're like running out of time, but...
I got too much electronics over here, man.
John has 8. He has a phone.
And it wasn't
an iPad.
That much. It's just I spilt like a little bit of a
Diet Coke. And he spilt his Diet Coke.
Guys.
And thank goodness our maid, Aaron.
Aaron, you didn't have to do that. It's really.
And
luckily,
table
this table. I'm telling you.
I wish this podcast was on video because we are. Why don't I do that?
I'm not taking the whole blame for the Diet Coke spillage with this table the way it is. Did someone saw off a leg? What happened?
Just about, yeah. It's one of them is cracking up.
I bet we're about to move from another.
Get rid of this thing.
All right.
Oh, good.
So, hey, let's check out this trailer from Tales from the Tour Bus. Hopefully, it'll just go straight to the trailer without playing some stupid commercial first, which YouTube loves to do, and now it's not even playing. I'm sitting here hitting the button, and now I've got the spinning wheel of death. On the
rainbow wheel?
Yeah, the rainbow wheel of death. It's caught in a loop. So, you know what?
Here, you want me? Okay.
You could do this. It's one of you. No, you can't do anything from that computer, can you, when it comes to looking up crap on the internet?
I was going to play you a song really quick.
Oh, please do. Here,
give
take
me that
this.
Chord back.
Take this.
So when
man.
I was on the...
oh, wait. Here it comes.
Of course it is.
Wait. Hang
give
on.
Give me this thing.
Yeah, take that one. Hey, oh everybody. Goodness. Welcome to Fried.
Hi. Welcome to Fried.
I'll turn it down. Oh.
Now, did you turn it? You muted it?
And now the sounds don't even do anything. Look at that.
Or the rules of polite society, for that matter. These have all been pretty big names, but we're going to end this season with a guy who is every bit the outlaw.
Wait, why is that? Okay, guys. Hi. That was not
that sounded
the video
like the end of an episode.
I was trying to play. Yeah, this is what I was trying to play. I want to get the trailer for Mike Judge Presents Tales from the Tour Bus, the trailer. Or you could check out our websites. Go to johnreap.com, J-O-N. You know what? Screw this. Just Google it. You're going to love it. Trust
goodness.
Me. You're going to love it. These stories are amazing. You know, the original outlaws of country music are like even more gangster than some of the gangster rappers we have today. So, like, these guys were shooting each other, trying drugs on each other. Like, here, just give that drug to Randy. See what happens. And so, like, it's really crazy stories. And if Mike Judge does it, it's great. So just trust me.
I love it. Well, I wanted to play you a quick song because this was like this song. We played this on the party bus.
Oh.
On the way to...
Speaking of tour bus.
And I wanted to see if you remember the song.
Oh, I love
it.
It
has a little bit of an opening. Hold on, let me just fast forward.
It already sounds familiar.
Yeah. I'm just trying to fast forward.
Wow.
I know, it's quite an opening. Hold on.
Stevie Wonder.
Just kidding.
Here you go.
One harmonica. Is it an 80s or a 90s?
It'll be 90s.
Okay.
Got a big leather suitcase.
Oh, wait.
All my home's inside. Since I've been walking for days. Can't even bum a ride.
I know it, but I don't know it. Let's get to the chorus, though.
Clint Black.
Clint Black.
State of mind. You know this song.
Yeah, but it's been so long since I've heard it.
Here you go.
Ain't it funny how a melody can bring back the memory? Take it to another place and time. Please change your state of mind.
Oh, yeah. Man,
do you remember
Clint
that
Black
one?
Is
Man,
good.
It was so good. And they were playing this on the party bus, and I was like, oh, this, it just like took me back to college.
Yeah.
And then I just bought his greatest hits because I was like, it was so good. And
you forget how great he was. I mean, not me, a lot of people.
Okay. I mean, A Better Man, Killing Time. Oh, so many good Clint Black songs out there.
Better Man, that's right.
Never like the rain till I walk through it with you. Remember that one?
I like the way you
do it. It's better when I sing it, right?
Oh,
see,
my
I get
God.
My voice from my dad.
Right? Oh, my God. You guys need to come out with a duet. Speaking of great accents, when I was home for Christmas, I went to a Christmas party, and I bumped into an old friend of mine named Marty Coulter.
Oh, Marty Coulter.
Marty the One-Man Party. this dude, okay, he's got a great original Southern accent, but he's also one of the smartest guys I know. He's a civil engineer, but he's the one guy that, like, pushed me to do stand-up.
Wow.
Like, I was always a funny dude at a party. He'd be like, man, you gotta take that to the stage. And so, like, he's the one that told me to get on the grass hill at the Panthers game where I got kicked out for dancing in the end zone. He's the one who got me, who recorded my first set ever.
He sounds like a positive influence.
Very positive influence, and I wanted to play you guys this 22-minute clip of me and Marty Coulter at a party in Hickory.
Now, this is not like my interview where there's a screaming baby in the background.
There are screaming adults who will wander in and out of this interview.
Okay.
So here we go. Check it out. Too late. We're rolling, doo-doo. How?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Check out this.
Oh, my God. I wish you guys could see this. I'm going to take pictures and post this on the internets, on our websites, on your Instagrams. I'm at an annual Christmas party at John Beaver's house, and, you know, I've known him since high school. I'm sitting here with Marty Coulter, though. Say hey, Marty.
Hello. Hey, Marty.
Hey, Marty. And if you follow my stand-up at all or you've seen my stories, I've thrown Marty's name in lots of times in random things, you know. I like the name Marty, first of all, even if it weren't you. It's just a good name.
Normally, first name, last name, right?
Yeah, Marty. I remember someone saying Marty the One-Man Party. Wes Pittman, what's up, buddy? I'm going to get you next. We're doing a podcast. Best dress so far. I like it. He's wearing a suit. He's wearing a red. It's not even red.
It's
that's maroon.
That's not a suit. It's a Christmas suit.
It's a Christmas. It's actually, I don't even think they go together. No, they're the same.
No, they go precisely. Yeah. And the red shoes. Don't forget.
He looks good. He looks good. Wes, I'm going to show y'all a picture later. Anyway, Martin Coulter, Marty the One-Man Party, sitting here. I've known him since, good Lord, middle school at least. I mean, you were more friends with my brother at first. Cause
I witnessed the Cosmic Force.
Yeah, you were around the
witness to the Cosmic Force. So.
Well, my brother, Jason, younger brother, who is Marty's age, had a brief stint in the Cosmic Force. We let him in out of sympathy, to be honest with you. He wasn't the best dancer, but, you know, what are you going to do? He's just tagging along. He's like, I could spin
around. You guys ruled the party. It was like, blonde-headed flash and a red-headed flash.
Yeah, right.
Dancing across the...
Double whammy of reap coming at you. You know, it's funny. Like, and we'll get to Marty here in a second. But you bring up awesome ideas, awesome memories, which is another reason I want to get you on this thing. My brother and I, we were members of the Cosmic Force, like you just said. But then there was this dance competition at the Mountain View Elementary School. We used to play basketball.
The Buccaneers.
And, yeah, that's where we played. That was the name of our football team, Mountain View Buccaneers. And we'd go up there and break dance, and they had a dance competition because they got tired of us break dancing. And I said, well, we'll see how good you are. And they had a huge dance competition, and anybody could enter. So, like, I mean, we're talking, like, tap dancers, ballet, like, everything. And so we enter. But my brother and I, we broke off from the Cosmic Force and formed the Breaking Brothers.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember this?
Cosmic Force and Breaking Brothers, yeah.
Well, we didn't tell them we were going to enter the same contest separately away from them.
Ooh.
So we went out and did our routine with the Cosmic Force. And then we went and changed clothes. We're like, what are y'all doing? And we came back dressed differently as the Breaking Brothers. And we beat the Cosmic Force. But we came in second to Cloggers.
Cloggers. Hey, we got some very good Cloggers in this area.
You know what?
That's before Jay-Z and everything, right?
That's before Jay-Z is, you know, clogging. Some of you people listening might not even know what clogging is. It's basically redneck tap dancing. It's kind of like your river dance, a redneck river dance. Right?
It's an Americanized river dance because river dance is Irish, right?
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, we just Americanized the river dance.
Like bluegrass.
Went crazy with
it. Irish music to begin with. Isn't that right?
Scottish.
Scottish, Irish. That's right. Scottish, Irish. They all look the same to me.
Over there, yeah.
I'm a ginger. I'm allowed to talk that way. But anyway, we came in second to damn Cloggers. I remember who it was, too. There was a guy named Daryl Fulbright. We call him Double Barrel Daryl because he's a big boy. Keith Nestor, holy crap, you have half of you's gone. What happened? Holy crap, folks. I'm going to take a picture of Keith Nestor here in a little bit. He's half gone.
He's
lost
here.
A lot of weight.
He's half here.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, let's get back to Marty Coulter here. Now, there are two stories I'd like to bring up with my man Marty Coulter. First of all, I'll just say this. Marty was like one of my you would laugh at all, almost anything I'd say back in the day. I remember coming to Charlotte when I was at NC State, and we would just come to these Charlotte parties. And you would just laugh and laugh and laugh. And I think me and Rodney Johnson were like some of the funniest dudes in that circle.
Because I was one of the first ones to spot the talent.
Yeah. There's something to it. And I remember, like, I was class clown in high school. My brother Jason got it after me. I think, again, that's a sympathy thing, you know. He's like, well, John got it. We got to give it to Jason, too. Class clown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole push has it.
Dad got it when he was a senior in high school.
There you go.
Yeah. So it's like, he could not have gotten it. I mean, it would have been bad. It made it look bad. But I remember me talking about, like, when I come to Charlotte, everyone's like, you ought to be a comedian. And I finally started thinking about it, started daydreaming about it, and I started talking about it. Yep, well, I just found out there's a comedy club right there in Raleigh called Good Nights, and they got open mic nights. I'm going to try it out one day. One of these days, I'm going to try it out. And I remember, and it was actually, I'm getting this out of order.
That's fine.
Because I think the Panther thing happened first. But because of this event at a Carolina Panther game, you told me, and I'll never forget it, because no one had said this to me before, which is why I include you in everything now. It's like you said, "All right, well, put up or shut up. I'm tired of hearing you talk about it." Like, I remember you saying, like, "Well, go do it and stop talking about it, or shut up." And I'm like, I think he's right.
It was.
Do you remember this at all?
It was one night you was visiting Charlotte, UNC Charlotte, where we were going through the.
Put that right on your chin, Marty.
Program down there in Charlotte, and was having a late night and a good time and everything. And you told me about the amateur night at Charlie Goodnight.
Right.
I was like, dude, you ought to try that. You ought to really do that. And he said, well, you were like on the fence about it.
Yeah.
So I was like, you should do that. I said, I don't think I'm – I said, John, I said, you're so funny, and you've done all this stuff out here in public, and just spontaneous. I said, if you could bottle that and package it.
Right.
And deliver it on a stage.
Yeah.
I think you'd be good to go.
And that's the hard part for a lot of people, like, you know, John Beaver's one of the funniest sumbitches I ever met in my life.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And also Mark Hunt, who just
he hasn't bottled his yet.
He kind of bottled yours and packed it. I bet Mark Hunt could do it. We're doing a podcast. You're going to be next, Mark. Okay, get lubed up first. Lots of people at this Christmas party walking in. I'm going to try and grab as many people as I can before I get too lubed up. But I remember Marty saying that, like, you know, pretty much held my feet to the fire. I'm like, he's right. I either got to do this or I got to stop daydreaming about it. I kind of thought to myself, well, if I try it and fail, and this is the scary part, right? Because my whole life I've been daydreaming about it. So it was just a fantasy. Which I had. I could always have a fantasy. But then if I went up there and failed at it, I couldn't have the fantasy anymore. And that scared me. That scared the crap out of me.
You were single. You weren't married. You didn't have kids. No responsibilities. Well, very little.
Very little. I didn't have a mortgage. I'm like, let's go for it.
Yeah.
Well, what kind of gave me the confidence to do that was another thing that you were sort of the catalyst for. And I've talked about this before, and there's a video of it. I got kicked out of a Carolina Panthers game for dancing in the end zone with a mascot, but it was a slow progression. See, we started off in...
this was at the...
Clemson.
Clemson Stadium.
That's right.
Which is horseshoe.
Yep.
And the one end zone has a grass bank instead of bleacher seats.
Right, and anybody... Yeah, so. You know, that was the cheapest ticket you could buy. It's basically like $7 or something.
See, yeah. So we were probably a good baseball throw to the grass bank.
Right.
Where we were sitting in the stands.
But I remember it being a slow progression. Like, one time out would happen, they'd play music. And I'd get in my seat and just start dancing to make you laugh and other people. And Marty would laugh, and it just started getting bigger and bigger. So next time out, I'm up again doing something stupid. And people are turning around looking. And it just got bigger and bigger. So... I remember being at the concession stand in halftime.
We went to halftime, yes.
Do you actually remember this moment?
I remember some, and went to halftime, and everybody had to reload on beers and go to the restroom and everything.
Yep.
Then, but before we went to halftime, I told you probably late second quarter, I was like, you need to go down there on the bank and do what you're doing here so more people could see you.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, man, that's cool.
Yeah.
So then halftime came. We were all walking back. There was probably how many of us?
Oh, gosh, 10, 15?
10 or 15 of us. So we're walking back. So I happened to remember our conversation earlier. So I grabbed you on the shirt, and I said, let's go to the bank. And you was like, oh, yeah.
That's right.
And surprised now. I didn't know if you'd say, nah, and forget that, but you was like, oh, you was all about it. So we headed to the bank.
And then I got on the bank, and a player got hurt, and they were working on this player for, I don't know, 3, 4, or 5 minutes straight. And they were playing music the whole time.
Well, I'm going to call timeout.
Yeah.
Because before that,
okay,
got down there, we had our beers, fresh beers, and you started dancing in the, you know, in the interims when they would play the music. So the crowd.
Seats. This is before I got to the field, the bank.
Our local crowd up to the right of us, they saw you down there.
Right, right.
So they would start cheering, and then the local fans around that crowd quickly saw you, so they started cheering.
Right.
And you could see every time he would stop and dance, that local crowd would grow.
Yeah.
And grow and grow. And before you know it, people on the other side of the horseshoe, on the other side of the stadium, they saw him dancing.
Yeah.
So this thing was already morphing and growing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was...
It was insane.
I had the ab workout from hell because I was back behind you on the bank just laughing like crazy.
You were with me.
Because I was witnessing the crowd growing while you... Of course, you were concentrating on your dancing.
Oh, I was in the moment.
And...
I remember there were kids
some good moves,
up to me,
man.
They thought that I was in on that I worked for the Panthers, like I was some secondary mascot. I remember kids coming up to me asking me for autograph, like, "Oh, are you with Sir Purr?" I'm like, "I don't know who that is."
But Sir who?
Yeah. Who?
So then the ultimate happened, and he already had a good crowd to the right and a good crowd to the left. There's already. Had spotted you and seen you.
Right.
So then the injury timeout, I think it was, got called.
And that's when the invitation to come onto the field basically happened, because I had already been on that grass hill dancing for a good 5, 7, 10 minutes, maybe longer. I don't know.
No, it's probably 20.
I mean, I have the entire stadium
from the time and all the interim little timeouts got took, and you.
Right. It was everyone. What was it 75,000 people were basically watching, waiting for every timeout. They just look at me. It was weird because, like you said, it is a shoehorn. So it was almost like I had my own stage, like my own comedy show.
Your stage was set.
And that was that moment that sort of gave me the confidence to try stand up for the first time. And then that's not long after that was that open mic night. And I had been talking about it. And you said, well, I'm coming up there. Now, what do you remember about this open mic night?
So it was on a Tuesday night.
That's right.
So we all had, it was during our regular class schedule. So me and one of my buddies, Donald McDaniel, we got the idea. He's on. And Donald, we knew this beforehand. He told us. He gave us like a week's notice. So that weekend, Donald brought his
camcorder.
VCR.
Whatever it was.
Camcorder with him.
Yeah.
Back in the VCR days.
Yeah, well, it was actually VHS tape.
VHS, there you go.
Yeah.
VHS tapes. So we had that, but this was a Tuesday night, so we had class Wednesday morning.
That's right.
So we were just going to drive from Charlotte to Raleigh. Not that big a deal.
Was it two and a half hours,
show,
maybe?
Yeah. And then drive back after the show.
Right.
So that was the goal and the mission.
Yeah.
And we had the camcorder, so we drove down. We got in the place, and
what do you think? How many people were in there?
Then I don't. Was there 50?
At best,
50. Okay,
it felt like 12 to 25.
So there were a number of
open micers. Yeah, amateur comics
to go up that evening.
Yeah, so I remember before we got there, though, we went to Miami Subs, and we were sitting in Miami Subs. And you're like, well, we brought this camcorder, so we're going to record it. And the whole time you're talking to me, I'm still rehearsing my set in my head because I was so nervous I'd forget something. I've never been on stage before. And so I was like sweating bullets, even though I was trying to pretend like, yeah, no big deal. I know I'm funny. You know? I just was so nervous. But, yeah, we get there to the club, and like you said, maybe, I don't know, 50 people at the most. Open mic night. The MC actually said it's my first time on stage, which bugged me because I didn't want him to. It makes the crowd nervous when they know that. And I'm like, no, don't tell them that, because now they're going to judge the crap out of me. But you were in the back of the room with the camcorder.
So yeah, me and Donald, we were in the back. And I don't know how I ended up with the camcorder, but I ended up with the camcorder. They called John Reap.
Yeah.
So John did the classic approach to stage fall down.
Yeah. Well, you know, huge Chris Farley fan, huge Chevy Chase fan.
But that's one of those little things that anybody could do.
Right.
But the way, and you did it, and with the energy that you did it, just set the whole thing. It wouldn't have mattered. Anybody could go up there and just trip, you know, on purpose and fall.
Yeah.
But the way you do it and the energy level that you have to do that and pop back up, and that just set me off laughing while I was having the camcorder trying to record this whole event.
I remember watching the tape later because that guy said it's his first time. I think, and I fell down. The audience didn't laugh. They felt sorry for me. Even though I did, to my own credit, it was a great fall. It looked real.
It was.
Like, it looked real. It didn't look like here I am falling.
It was awesome.
Hey, bam! I was down. And no one laughed. They felt sorry for me. And I stood up real fast thinking I'd get a laugh. And I was like, no, I did it on purpose. Shit! And then if you watch the tape, I say shit, and Marty's like, he's laughing. I couldn't tell if you're laughing at me or if you're laughing at the fall. It didn't matter.
I was laughing because here was a guy, here was a dude that I've grown up with since middle school. We went all through high school. We went to the mall, He was being in public,
playing
doing
football.
Just little stupid funny shit on the side.
Yeah.
Can I say shit?
Yeah.
Anyway, I said shit. So he's doing little stupid funny things and shit on the side.
Right.
And cracking all of us up all the time. It's just nonstop. And then we're finally in a public organized comedy club.
Right.
We're supposed to be dedicated to comedy.
Right.
And he's up there, and I'm thinking, what the hell is this guy doing? How did he come from the mall, Valley Hills Mall in Hickory, North Carolina, to Charlie Goodnight's on stage, and me sitting here recording him? So I'm just laughing at the whole
circle of life that's
taking place in front of him. I just, I was in a state of disbelief almost. I was just, so I got, I couldn't stop laughing.
Where do you think this tape is today? I know it's Donald's camera.
So I know Donald said he has a tape, but he moved in the last few years. They built a house and he moved, and he thinks the tape is buried in some boxes somewhere. So he said he was going to try to find the tape.
I mean, part of me wants to see it, part of me doesn't. Like, I want to see it, but I don't know if I want everybody else to see it because it. I remember I didn't.
The locals are absolutely good to see it. I think
you guys love it. I mean, because it's. But I remember like me doing stand up and not talking into the mic. So I get up and go, I did on purpose.
He held the mic too low, but you know.
I'm Hickley.
It was down here.
And then every now and then I put up my mouth and people go, oh, okay, I kind of heard what he said. I think
he's got it all under control now.
Yeah, I have recovered. I want to tell you, first of all, thank you for putting my feet to the fire. Hey, secondly, thank you for always.
I take no credit for that, man. I think you was headed in the direction anyway, regardless of anything I said or did. But
well, you know, I needed someone to say something like that to me, and I'm glad that you did. not only that, but I forgot the other thing I was going to tell you. I'd like to see this tape. I'd like to find the tape one day and maybe recreate it. And I'll tell you, that's what I got to say. This is what, and I'll end this interview with this because we got a party to get to.
We got a party. We got a Christmas party.
We got a Christmas party. And Marty's in the band, Southern Star Town. Look them up.
Yep.
I'll put a link on the website. Southern Star Town's going to play. Marty's guitar singer. He does it all. He's a one-man party, Marty. But no, here's one of the first jokes I told. I remember one of the first jokes. It was dumb. I'm going to do two of them, actually. I said, I've been trying to grow a goatee lately.
Yes.
It's not working out. But, let me just try again. And I physically make this face like I'm trying to push the hair out of my face to come out at that moment. And I don't know if people got it. And another joke I said was because the Panthers just got Tim Biakabatuka, running back, I think from Michigan. Or I forgot.
How do you spell that?
Huh?
How do you spell that?
God, that's a good one. I'll have to Google that one. Tim Biakabatuka. I go, they just did an interview with head coach Dom Capers of the Carolina Panthers, and they said, so what do you think about your number one draft pick, Tim Biakabatuka? And he said, well, I think his athletic ability speaks for itself. And I said, well, what does that look like? And then he goes to talk to Tim Biakabatuka, and instead of saying anything, he just starts doing jumping jacks and squats and push-ups because it speaks for itself. Ladies and gentlemen, I apologize for that. That's not how I want to end this. That's not a good joke. But
well, maybe next time we can work in the parking the cars at the Raleigh.
Yeah, that's right. Cliffhanger.
North Carolina State
cliffhanger
football game.
Maybe we'll come back to this later tonight when we have some more drinks in us and tell you about the time at an NC State football game where I pretended to be a traffic director. Someone gave me an orange vest. Someone gave me gloves and a whistle. And this all happened randomly. And I started pretending to direct traffic, and I ended up getting, I think it was
there. It was a huge field for parking.
Yeah.
So it was like a parking usher.
Right, right.
But you happened to be stationed at the
we happened to be tailgating
entrance.
Yeah, next to
so
it.
So there were multiple forks the cars could take to park, and you let them some down the right fork
right.
And some down the
dead ends
left or wrong.
I mean, I remember getting I think it was the opposing team's marching band like bus down one of those tiny roads that leads to nowhere, and they had to back out of it. And then cops on horses come looking for me. Remember that? And people were like disguising me. I was running through the woods, and people were like, "Here, put this hat on. Here, take that vest off." Yeah. Like people were trying to hide me. Like I was.
Yeah, the locals coverage.
Woo! Good times. All right, David. Marty, let's go party, buddy.
Let's do it.
All right. What do you think?
I love Marty.
Marty,
I want him to come in studio.
Hopefully, one day we'll get Marty on the phone. I would like for you guys to meet each other.
Oh,
he's a good guy, great influence.
I want to know if he thinks I should do comedy.
He'll probably be like, remember my buddy Booger? He goes, "So what's your deal?"
Yeah, what's your deal?
What the hell?
I love how people don't realize that we're recording this.
Yeah. And they go, "What is a podcast?" Honestly, Marty didn't, half the people at the party didn't even know what a podcast was.
No.
I mean, they know what it is, but they're like, "Well, how do I get it? What do I?" I'm like, "Just don't worry about it."
Okay.
So I said, "Give me your phone. I'll solve this. Give me your phone right now." Mm-hmm. And I did it to half of my friends at the party. They subscribe to us now, even though they don't know it. They'll probably never listen to it. So we can say whatever we want.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, I'm so glad that you did that. That's so cool.
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear who you interview next time you go home.
Well, there's somebody to choose from. It might be my buddy Wes, who was briefly popped in there for a second, who was the best dressed at that party. maybe I'll grab Wes, who's also our fantasy football commissioner.
Oh.
Yeah.
So. The commissioner.
He's the commissioner. The commissioner. Yeah.
Good old Wes.
Well, this has been a ball.
This is fun.
It's always fun with you, Sarah
always
Tiana.
Very fun with you,
Aaron,
John Reap.
We're working on it.
Aaron, one day. One day, Aaron.
All right, shall we end this puppy?
Yeah, happy Friday, everybody.
Happy Friday.
And the radio up, I like to see sunrise. See the love in my woman's eyes. Feel the touch of my precious child. And your mother's love.